Welcome to episode 12 of the HR Coffee Time podcast with me, your host, Faye Wallace. If we haven't met before, I'm a career coach and an outplacement specialist with a background in HR, and I'm also the founder of Bright Sky Career Coaching. I've made the HR Coffee Time podcast especially for you to help you have a successful and fulfilling HR career without having to work yourself into the ground. And in this week's episode, you get to meet the wonderful Sally Dillon. Now, Sally specialises in supporting women returning to work after a career break, so I thought she'd be a great person to bring on. Because if you're listening to this and you're on a career break or have recently returned to work, I knew she'd have some brilliant advice for you. But if you're not, and you're in your HR role, and you've been thinking about what you can put in place for people in your organisation who have had time out, then she has masses of advice for you. And she also points out that this work can be a brilliant way of ensuring that we keep women in the workplace and increase their chances of making it into the senior roles, which will help to address the depressing gender pay gap that I know exists in so many organisations. So I really hope that you enjoy the episode and that you find it helpful. Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for joining me today on the show. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Faye. It's lovely to come here.
And it would be great before we dive into the whole interview if you could just share a little bit about your background and the work that you do now.
Yes. So currently I run a business called Career Mums, which is a social enterprise supporting women in their careers. Before that, I've had a 16-year career in HR, doing lots of different types of HR roles from generalist to specialist, working in various different sectors. The thing that happened between those two, so from having a HR career to supporting women in their careers, was that I had a huge amount of time out focusing on family priorities.
Okay, wonderful. That's great. And so when you say that you support women with their career, what kind of things do you and Career Mums do?
Okay, so we mostly support women back to work after having a career break. So having had very personal experience, both myself and Nishi, my business partner, having had very personal experiences of struggling to get back into work after having career breaks ourselves, we realised that given that I had a HR background, she had a recruitment and employability background, that if we were struggling, there must be lots of other women like us out there who must equally be struggling and facing lots of different barriers to help them on their way. So that was our motivation for starting up the business.
And I thought it might just be worth mentioning, it may be interesting to people who are listening, that we've known each other for a few years now. And obviously, we're both career coaches, but with quite different specialisms. And I have come to you for mentoring before, when I had some clients approaching me who were women who wanted to return to their careers and they'd had extended career breaks. And I just felt, well, yes, although I have got the coaching skills to support them, I knew that it was your absolute area of expertise. So you very kindly shared some of your methods and thoughts and tools with me. So I have seen firsthand how brilliant you are at this work. And actually, it made me also decide that I would just refer any clients on to you who came to me who were in that position, because it's really important to me that anyone who comes to Bright Sky for help with their career gets the best possible support. And so if I think there is another coach who will be better than me in one particular area or better than the other coaches who I have on my team, I'll always refer them on. So thank you for taking such good care of several clients who have come to me over the years. They've always, you know, been absolutely thrilled with the service that they've received.
Thank you very much, Faye. I was just talking to one person that you've referred to me this morning. So, it's been great. I feel as though we've been on our career coaching journey together over the last, must be 5 years now.
Yes. We must have known each other for 5 years. I can't believe it. Oh, where's all the time going?
Maybe we might meet in person one day as well.
Oh yeah, that's weird to think. We haven't actually ever met in person. Hooray for Zoom. But anyway, before I start going off completely down the wrong path, I better bring us back to the main part of the interview. So I thought it would be wonderful to have you on as a guest for so many different reasons, but I guess primarily because you have such a wealth of knowledge to share around supporting women in the workplace. So one of the areas that you're particularly passionate about and particularly skilled at is helping people who are returning to work, which obviously you've already mentioned, but there, I know that there are other aspects to the work that you do as well. But let's focus on that whole returning piece. So what do you think some of the barriers are for people who are returning to the workplace having taken a break?
Okay. The barriers are some real structural barriers within the employment market and the recruitment methods that are used. And some of the barriers are more internal, to do with an individual's level of confidence, their sense of what they want to do next, and also their experiences of, say, for example, if they've been on maternity leave and they're going back to their current employer, some of the barriers may be around how they have been supported or not by their employer during that period of time. Also, how I think one of the biggest things that doesn't perhaps get acknowledged so much for people, particularly with a young family, is how close are they to their extended family and friends? How much network do they have around them as a family unit to enable that return to work process to happen smoothly? I know that there's been lots of discussion in Parliament and in the media recently about the cost of childcare, and you know those childcare decisions and the understanding of the total cost of childcare, the financial cost of childcare, can be limiting factors in whether a woman can continue in her career or not. And that's, I'm saying a woman, because, you know, as we know, whilst there are some fantastic examples of couples taking shared parental leave, we know that in where there is a father involved, they are more likely to progress in their career at around the time of becoming a parent, whereas a mother is likely to impact negatively on their career progression, salary progression, retirement savings, all those kind of things that are important to sustaining family finances and family life. So those are just a number of barriers that I've shared. Lots of other barriers would be in place for people, depending on different types of the reason for the career break. It could be down to health issues. We've have recently supported a number of people who've been suffering with mental health issues over the last couple of years, I think exasperated by the pandemic, but finding employers who are able to support a more phased return and a supported return for people who have, you know, sort of been struggling with their health, whether it's physical or mental, back into the workplace, when it could, you know, even for any of us, whether we've had health issues or not, when we're starting a new job, it can be quite daunting and overwhelming at the best of times. So if you've had a time out, struggled with mental health, struggled with confidence, lost that sense of who you were when you were a working person, that sense of identity, then it's really important to, we feel it's very important to feel supported so that you can actually transition smoothly back into work and then continue and hopefully succeed within the job role and continue in the career.
So for anyone listening to this who thinks, oh yes, you know, everything that you're saying resonates, it's really important to make sure that we are putting the right support in place, what does that actually look like from a practical point of view if you're working in the people or the HR team and you want to make sure that you are being as supportive and helpful as possible?
I would suggest it really very much depends on the values of your organisation. So I think, when I go back to my HR career, which was pre-millennium for most of it, welfare and well-being were just not words that were around welfare as a term within HR had somehow gone out with the 1970s and kind of early 80s. And we were very much focused on commercial delivery of organisational strategy, real kind of human resources management. And so now I think that we've really progressed, but not all HR departments, not all HR professionals, not all organisations have progressed at the same rate together. So now what would be an ideal scenario would be that the organisation, through the HR professionals, have appropriate well-being policies in place, appropriate support to enable people to feel supported on their returns. Something that we do through our sister company, CM Talent, is offer external maternity coaching services to support people to wrap around their periods of leave, whether they're taking paternity leave or adoption leave. Something, you know, sort of, and so having services like that accessible to people within your organisation can be really, really helpful and really provide, you know, that sense of welcoming people into the organisation, whatever their background, which will then add to the mix of diversity and inclusion within the organisation.
And so one of the things you mentioned there was maternity coaching. What does that actually look like in practice?
Okay, so the way, I mean, there's different models, but the way that we run it is that we have one-to-one coaching sessions with an employee, a couple of sessions before they go on to leave, to help them prepare from the transition from their working, from their work scenario, from their job into their leave, into their period of leave. Some kind of things that we'll focus on there is the communication with their manager, getting that set up for how it's going to work smoothly during their period of leave. What are the expectations? And for some people like to be kept in touch and kept in contact with what's going on within their job role whilst they're on leave. Other people don't. You want to have a total break. And we, through the coaching, we enable people to think through how they want their leave to be and that to manage that relationship with their employer and with their line manager and with their colleagues. Also, preparing for maternity leave is really important, particularly the time before the baby is born. If you have the opportunity to have a week or a couple of days or a week or so to prepare, if you've been in a really, really busy job, constantly on and available, then it's very difficult to then suddenly for that to stop and to be thinking about, oh gosh, well, what do I do now? So just helping people to create strategies for enabling them to have the best start to their leave period as possible. Then the support continues during their period of leave with some further one-to-one coaching sessions that we generally do over video conferencing to have the opportunity to have a space to reflect on the adjustment to becoming a working parent, particularly important if it's first child, but nonetheless, if it's a second or third or more child, and also preparing for the return to work using kit days, using facilities available to transition smoothly back into a work role. So within that, we cover not only what's required from the employer's point of view, but also the logistics and the practicalities about making it work from a family and home point of view as well, including things like settling child into childcare situation. And then we also finish with a couple of sessions after the individual has returned to their employer to ensure that that they're settling into their work role. The chances are that given the length of maternity leave now, which typically is a year plus accrued holiday, the chances are that most people will be returning to a role that is different in some way to the one that they left. So looking forward, you know, how's the adjustment going? And also, what are they imagining for their future career development and working around that, around their current new additional family members as well?
Yes, because as well as going into a different role, what I definitely found when I went back to work from maternity leave was I couldn't believe how different the company felt. Yes. In such a short period of time. There were so many new faces there, different projects that had started, different projects that had ended. Although, obviously, I knew a lot of the people who were there, it almost felt like starting again.
Definitely. And I think, that, you know, so particularly people that are returning at the moment post-pandemic, we've been supporting people recently who are working from home for the first time ever, whereas their colleagues have been working from home for, you know, to the best part of the last 18 months. And so that in itself could be quite a shift, quite a change. Maybe welcome, maybe not. Also supporting people with flexible working requests that we often get involved in, that because, you know, a desire to perhaps work fewer hours or have adjust their work situation in a way that perhaps they're working from home or closer to childcare for a couple of days a week rather than commuting. All those kind of things are, I guess, we're there as a confidant, but with some expertise around the situation to really help them feel able to have a confident return and a confident continuation in their career. And one thing that we know for sure is that the time of parenthood, the time of becoming a new parent, is the most vulnerable time in a woman's career. So if we can get the environment and we can get kind of all the factors in place at that critical leave time, then hopefully that will enable that mother, that new parent, to continue in their career and continue to develop and contribute fully to their organisation, which will then kind of help to address some of the structural problems that we have and some of the structural longer term barriers to why, you know, so women don't succeed more in their careers, so that we can actually develop more women leaders.
No, well, that's brilliant, because that leads on perfectly to the next question that I had really wanted to ask you, which is, what are the consequences of not getting this right and not putting the support in place?
Well, the consequences are what, you know, essentially the current situation that we have now, where the majority, you know, the amount of maternity discrimination that continues to go on within this country, and we're not alone in this just being the only country that it happens to, but, you know, maternity discrimination is such a huge factor where women don't feel as though they're able to continue in their employment because of the way that they have been treated or the circumstances around their period of leave. So it's the kind of the discrimination that goes on, but also it's the lack of equality that we end up with within an organisation where we continue to have more senior men within running organisations and more women in lower paid, lower status roles. And that is exacerbated if you're a woman of colour or if you have disabilities or any other barriers within the way.
Yes, and I guess where there has now become a focus on gender pay gap reporting, I think it's really, really shone a light on it. I know the first year that all of the results came out, even though I've known about all of this stuff for a really long time, it still felt quite a shock when you realised what a massive difference there was.
Absolutely shocking. So shocking. And, you know, so that I left my HR career almost 18 years ago now and expected there to have been progress during that time. Clearly it wasn't my, you know, sort of my responsibility, but, you know, so that I expected to come back into the workplace after having my kind of long career break and expecting them to see a change. But it's been small, tiny steps. There's still a long way to go. And part of addressing that, the gender pay inequalities, is the structural things like supporting parents on becoming parents in the workplace, allowing, you know, sort of encouraging fathers to take shared parental leave, providing the best circumstances and arrangements for somebody who's been on leave to return to, putting things in place for people that have had longer career breaks say, for example, they weren't able to continue within their career because of the cost of childcare, then making sure that there's arrangements in place to bring people with experience back into the workplace later on. And that, you know, over the last few years, we've seen for some organisations, they've had some huge success with running returnship programmes, which we'd love to see more of. And putting the structural things in place to help more women develop in their careers, to stay in their careers, so that we can get to a place where there are more senior women in organisations. It's the norm rather than a rarity, and that will then bring about the much needed cultural change within organisations as well.
And you touched on returnships there. That's another thing I really wanted to ask you about. So I'm assuming you've had some sort of experience and encounters with returnships yourself.
We have. So certainly we've designed some returnship programs for employers where we have supported people back into work on structured returnship programs. They work really well. We're also doing through Career Mums, through the social enterprise, we're doing some funded programs to get people back into work as groups of people through supported programs, and then into enabling them to follow their own paths and find their own employment, but really taking the opportunity to support them through the job search process, their preparation for getting back to work and the transition into their new roles as well. And all it takes is, you know, it's not rocket science, this. It's taking some support at the time when people need it and allowing people to feel positive and hopeful about their future.
And just in case anyone hasn't actually heard of returnships before, could you just explain exactly what they are?
Yeah, sure. So they are almost like a paid internship for grown-ups, for more mature people. So it's a way of getting experienced, skilled people back into the workforce by putting on a structured program, almost like a graduate hiring program. So you would have a specific campaign to recruit from the with your defined skill base that you're looking to bring into an organization, and then you would provide a period of development to enable them to get up to speed with whatever their function is within the organization. So typically a way that a returnship would work is that a returner would be given a project of, say, either 3 months or 6 months, where they're paid for that project, and then at the end of the returnship period, along with some coaching support as they go through it, then there would be the decision as whether that's going to work for the long term, and a permanent hiring decision made, if the person's the right for the organisation, if it's worked both ways.
Well, that's great to hear. I didn't actually know that you've designed and helped with returnships before. I hadn't realised you had such hands-on practical experience of that. So when you have been helping to design those programs, what kind of roles have you seen the returnships being set up for?
So most organizations that use returnship programs use them for to bring back particular skills into the organization that they perhaps are struggling to hire through normal routes. So say, for example, it's a law firm and you have, you know, one of the challenges is that we need more to have better inclusion and diversity for that organisation, which for lots of organisations is a top priority these days, thankfully. Then rather than waiting 10, 20 years to get an experienced new hire lawyer to hopefully be retained within the organisation, it's a way of bringing back experienced talent. So if there's a particular shortage of, say, lawyers with a particular within a particular field, then put a returnship program together for that particular skill base. Or it may be that it's a general, other organizations use it in more of a general way to just bring in more senior talent back into the organization with the potential to progress to senior leadership positions.
And what have some of the successes been that you've seen through returnships?
So what we'd love to see with some of the returnship programs that we've supported is where people have actually not only transitioned into their new working environment well, but have also then gone on to progress and have, you know, been promoted within, you know, we certainly had examples of people that have been promoted within a year of being back in an organisation and gone to that next level. And again, that's, it comes down to who they're targeting when they're bringing people on board onto returnship programmes, but then equally how they're supported, particularly in the first couple of months, but also a sense of the potential, you know, seeing the potential that they have for the future.
Oh, it must be so great when you see that sort of progress and the programmes working so well.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, sort of the pandemic has put returnships on hold for certain organisations where they've obviously had to focus on more operational matters. But we're certainly hoping and seeing the shoots start to appear again of getting returnships off the ground again now in our relatively post-pandemic world.
And so, bunching the two things together, returnships and then just the general support for people returning to work after a career break. Have you got any examples for us of things you've seen companies do particularly well, whether that's initiatives they've set up or grassroots things that have occurred that have really supported their people with making that return successfully?
So the types of things that work really well is where the operational, you know, what's happening for an individual, the support that's happening for an individual links through to the kind of the strategy of the organisation and the values of the organisation. So if we say that we want to be more inclusive as an organisation, then in my mind, that's also been really, it's really important to be inclusive for working parents, as, you know, sort of my area of specialism. And by being inclusive for working parents, then seeing measures in place, policies in place, you know, sort of networks in place to support people, to support working parents to be the best that they can be in their organisation, then that's when it's going to work. So for larger organisations, having things like a parents or a parents and carers network set up, having services like maternity and paternity coaching set up, having access to specific support when the need arises, like for example we run a working parents coaching that can be for a number of organizations that can be accessible for at the time of need, just for a few short sessions. Say for example, I don't know, there's some relationship difficulties or a child struggling to transition to a new school, at that point of need, that's when it's important that the organisation can offer something to that individual that's going to help them on their way. They're going to be more present at work. They're going to be less distracted if they've got a way of helping to resolve that particular problem. And we know as parents ourselves, Faye, that, you know, sort of each life stage of a child growing up has got its joys, but equally it has its challenges. So we never know what's around the corner either. So having very tactical things set up to support people that's linked to an overall strategy and priority for an organisation, I think that's when it works best.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for sharing that. So we focused mainly on the kind of support that we can put in place for people returning to work, having had a career break. But what if the person returning to work is ourselves? So for anyone who's listening to this who may be on leave at the moment or may have had an extended break from work, what tips would you give to them with regards to either finding their next role or transitioning back into the company that they worked for before the leave?
Mm-hmm. I think my best piece of advice would be to not do it alone. So reach out for support. So there's, you know, we're not the only career coaches that are operating in this space. There has been quite an increase over the last few years. Having a coach there is like having a helping hand. It's somebody that can share some experience, can help and guide you on your journey, really support you and perhaps challenge you, your thinking as well, but really help you to feel confident and optimistic about what the future can hold. Often, particularly if you've been on a career break, the feelings that most often get reported are feelings of isolation and lacking confidence as well as losing identity, losing professional identity. And they're quite big kind of psychological things to get your mind around. So with support from somebody else, and again, you know, you may have a fantastic trusted friend who can enable you to do this, but know that you're not alone and that there is help and support available to do that. Something that we're very keen to do as career mums, we're a social enterprise, which means that we're a non-profit making organization, and so that enables us to keep our prices low for people that are doing self-funded coaching at a time when they need it most. You know, perhaps there's, you know, finances are not readily available, so we do what we can to keep our one-to-one coaching costs as low as we can and therefore as accessible as we can. Our typical coaching program only lasts three sessions, so again, it's, we kind of try and keep it as quick and effective and efficient as possible, rather than you expecting to sign up for some long, never-ending program of coaching program. Majority of people we can support within those three sessions. A couple will always have an additional one or an additional lot set of three, but in the most part, that's enough to really get somebody working out what it is they want to do, have the practical tools to go and make it happen, and feel emotionally supported and along the way.
I think the point that you made about knowing that you're not alone is such an important one, and that feeling of isolation that can happen. I know that when I had my first baby, I was the first out of my friendship group to have a baby, and I just felt so alone, and like I had no idea what I was doing. And I was used to being at work where you might get a pat on the back for doing a job well, where of course the baby never says thank you, never does half the things that you would ideally like them to do, like sleep or stop crying, and just not really having anyone to talk to. I found it, you know, really hard. And one of my friends who has got two children, she's quite senior, one of the big four. And what I thought was really interesting was she started having women contact her throughout the organisation to say, could they have a chat with her? Because they'd seen that she had managed to carry on with her career and seemingly had returned to work quite smoothly after having had both children. And I thought it was a really interesting example of how there should be formal support in place. I completely agree with that. But actually those informal things, like you were saying about talking to a friend if you can, they ended up sort of forming this informal little network of new mums or mums who've been back at work for a little while, where they could just chat about things and ask each other for advice and share experiences of how they were finding work or the return to work. And I thought it was wonderful to hear that story and to see how they were supporting each other.
Yeah, it is. And there's lots of examples of that kind of informal network, sometimes more formalised networks taking place, particularly around the larger employers. I think we've always got to think about the smaller employers and whether they are getting the support and having that type of conversation. And we ran an online community group called the Career Mums Club group that's free to join, which we hope to provide that level of conversation. And also something that we've been involved in is training parents to be mentors within organisations or buddies, so that they have got not just that being a friend, but also have got some skills to really support other people, as well as being able to bring their experience into it as well.
Oh, yes, that sounds like a great thing to bring a mentoring scheme around. I must have heard of that before, but I feel like I haven't. No, that's great. Thank you for mentioning that as well. And Sally, if anyone wants to get in touch with you or wants to learn more about the work that you do and more about Career Mums, what are the best ways for them to do that?
The best way is probably through our website, which is career-mums.co.uk. We're on all the social media platforms as well, which I'm sure you'll link to from here. And, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, Sally Dillon. You can find me easily there.
Yes, I'll make sure that I put all of the links in the show notes so that people can easily find their way to you on LinkedIn or to the website. That's absolutely fine. And I'll put in the other social media accounts that Career Mums has too. And then before I say a final goodbye, it would be wonderful if you have got a favourite book recommendation that you would be happy to share with everybody.
I'm going to recommend this book, which is Fears to Fierce by Britta Fernandez-Schmidt. And it's a woman's guide to owning her own power. And this book is beautifully written by Britta, who we've had the pleasure of meeting, where she talks about how she's juggled her career along with family life and lots of aspirations that she had and the reality of what happens as we age and, you know, sort of life happens to us. So that's my recommendation for today.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's one book that I haven't read and we haven't had recommended already. So thank you so much for sharing it. And it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. And I'm sure that we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you very much, Faye.
I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, I'd be hugely grateful if you'd be kind enough to rate and review the podcast for me on Apple Podcasts, because that makes a huge difference in encouraging Apple to show the podcast to more people. And I'll be back next week with another great episode for you. But in the meantime, have a wonderful week.